Salutations, Chris.
I like the deja vu. I had a student actually ask me twice the other day because they didn't think I heard them. I said, Clough, what does deja vu mean? And then I did finish my conversation. They didn't see me put my hand up, like just the give me a minute. And then they said it again, Clough, what does deja vu mean? And my brain is like that. Because saying it twice, that's deja vu right there. So your salutations is sparking me up. I want to tread lightly on our on-ramp and just putting it out there, you know, the hilarity that sometimes can lead to inspiration, which sometimes can lead to prototype. And I don't know if I'll leave it as a ellipsis dot 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 coming soon from Decoded Podcast. You don't know what's coming. I don't even know what's coming, but it would be funny if we actioned, if we executed on our idea. I guess this is how we softly build promo material, right? Because it's not like we're getting any sponsorship or, you know, I put out the one tweet blast saying, here's the episode coming. But
the best part of this podcast is when you tweet out the link to our talk and the sketch note you made. That's my favorite part. I don't even like talking to you anymore. I just like the aftermath where you tweet out the link and you tweet out the picture and it's all good.
And you know what? And I don't even take offense to that. That's where I'm at. You can hit me hard with that critical analysis, and I'm still going to try and talk to you every week. I'm going to be so self-serving that way that I want to talk about my week and my stuff, and I'm still going to do some little sketch notey thing. I wanted to touch on kind of where we ended the on-ramp and looking at, you inspired me to think about a conversation that I had with a colleague yesterday who has been told by their doctor that they need to make some life changes. And they've gone for some tests and it's a little bit more clear. They have to eliminate some foods. They have to do, you know, the exercise. Nothing dire, but for the individual, they're really being challenged by implementing this. And we're reflecting together, talking about how crazy it is that in the daily work day, those changes are so manageable. Like they're measurable, they're doable in the structure of the workday. And what I mean by that is, you know, at least say in education, anyone that's not a teacher maybe feels the same way. When your day is kind of regimented by meetings and classes and having to deliver some item to somebody, it almost feels like because that superstructure exists, making decisions for yourself just happen. Because you're sort of having to live within that superstructure of rules. You will have lunch or not have lunch because of the bells or how busy you are. You will meet a person or not meet a person because of how powerful that superstructure of the schedule is. And I'm not specifically talking about sort of like the hamster wheel idea that you're just kind of like running through your day constantly, but the fact that everything is so coordinated. You get the benefits of having a coordinated day, even if you're not a coordinated person. You get the benefits of feeling scheduled and checklisty, even if you're not necessarily, you know, if that's your default. And we kind of got to a place like saying, man, that really sucks, because I would like to have that kind of organization in my own life. Like I would like to be as organized as I am, even if I don't like it as a teacher, as I am. I want the teacher organization in my life because I feel like I'd be able to get to some of the stuff, you know, the personal wellness stuff, the hanging with the family stuff. And we've landed on this a few times, just that challenge of being dad, teacher, husband, person, however that kind of flows. But it was interesting to hear maybe our words that we've talked about from somebody else's perspective, because they were really being challenged by keeping their life as tuned, their personal life as tuned as their teacher life is. And I'd never really heard it outside my head. Like it was very clear. This person was straight up. Yeah, I wish I wish my doctor was here at the school, because then I would feel like somehow that was more clearly a part of what I feel is my organized day. She said, when I get home, it's just like everything is just too busy, to this, to that, to whatever. I said, you know, our workday is to this, to that. Like, your workday is really busy too, but somehow you get it all done, you know? So that's my lead off reflection.
You dropped a heavy one.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, as you were talking about it, I was wondering, would I like my life to be like that? Would I like my day to continue to flow after work as it does during work, in terms of the way things are positioned and executed? And initially, I think no. I do like, there's something about leaving work and entering into an unstructured time flow that's dedicated by me or the people in my life that I find refreshing. There's something about, you see, I think of when I go to school, I think of myself entering into parameters that I really don't have a lot of control over, like bell times and the different scheduling throughout the day. I find that when I leave the building, I'm walking out of a box and into a bigger box where the lines aren't so defined, because they're not in front of me the same way they are in the building at school. I don't know if any of that makes sense, but I do, like, even when I leave work, sometimes I have to leave I feel frantic when I leave, because the bell goes, I let my kids go, but then I have to go because I have to be home at a certain time to pick up my son, or to be here so that the sitter can leave because there's something else going on. And it's like, I even look forward to being that frantic, because it's different than what I'm experiencing during the day. It's a different frantic than what I might feel between first, you know, in the 15 minutes of first recess, because I know that after first recess, I have to do A, B, and C, but I'm not fully prepared. So I have 15 minutes to make that happen. It's almost like a really cool challenge. Now, at the time, I don't really like it, because I'm like, oh, I only have 15 minutes and I have to do these two things in order for the next 45 minutes to be good. But now that I talk to you about it, it's almost like I crave it sometimes. I crave that challenge in my day, because it wakes me up. It gets me going. Wow, I really twisted that, eh? I ended up, yeah. But I kind of like that. I like that we have this time, the podcast, to do stuff like that, to just take things into different directions and kind of see where they lead us.
I had a moment yesterday at the end of the day. So I had an appointment that I had to be back in town for 4 p.m. So my school day ends at 2:25. So that's a pretty wide berth. I know that I need at best time, I need 33 minutes door to door to get from my school to my house. Where my appointment was slightly closer than that. These are the mathematics that I'm running through at the end of the day. I'm like, okay, I know where the appointment is. On a good day, that's about 5 minutes closer than my house. So, okay, 28 minutes. 28 minutes, so I'm doing okay. That takes me 2:25 all the way to 2:53. Okay, so I've got an hour to do stuff. It's funny, and I'm tapping into what you're saying about as far as the using, I hear maximizing time. That's what I hear when you're sort of saying this. But also the possibility of failing is slightly thrilling. Am I on point with that? Like, it's that you're running that kind of like that razor line there?
Failing is not the part that leads to the thrill. it could be an end result. The thrill, I guess, is the thrill is the time segment that I have to see. It's a challenge. So I'm like, uh-oh, I need to shift gears. This is happening after recess now, but I'm not ready. I got 15 minutes to make this happen. And it's almost now that you're talking to me about it, I'm feeling the rush of it. It's one of those things where it's like a video game. I have to get my kids out of the room and downstairs. I got to get to the washroom. I got to sneak in some photocopies. And then I got to go grab this resource without being stopped by anybody to talk about anything. And if they do stop me, how do I get in and out of that conversation without being considered a loser in the way that I deal with my colleague? How do I not hurt anybody's feelings? How do I just keep rolling on? So it's like this epic, like level 10 of a video game. And I have to get from point A to point B. And if I don't do it in a certain time, I lose.
So where I was at the end of the day doing these calculations. No. That's exactly. And when I say that sort of the waka, 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 like I'm thinking the ghost house, right? Because, and I wish I could remember do you remember the four names of the ghosts in Pac-Man?
No idea.
So I got, and what I like about that as an image is that even if you power up and knock them down, the eyeballs go back to the ghost house, that center thing, and they respawn and they come back out and they come after you. That's a little bit like what's sort of happening at that final hour yesterday, because you set in motion a plan before you're officially confronted with the challenges of the plan. So as I'm leaving my classroom, I'm packing up my gear, unplugging, disconnecting, having a few closing conversations with the kids. Like you said, you know, not looking to hurt any feelings, not wanting to be curt or brisk with anyone, because those conversations at the end of the class are can be just as powerful and poignant and connected as the ones that happen any time of the day. So I'm getting down the hall, and of course I run into person number one. Waka 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 waka. And I gotta decide whether or not I'm gonna sort of have the conversation, because I can see them at the end. I can see them approaching me. So you're trying to decide, you know, am I gonna duck left? Am I gonna duck right? Am I going to just go into it? And this was the constant flow. So by the time I make it back to my other classroom, which is more like my home base, I've already blown through 15 minutes. And it's not a 15-minute walk from corner to corner, floor to floor, but 15 minutes. And I haven't started the thing that I need to get done. By landing in the place where my resources are, I have the continuation of the conversation that I started this cast with the individual that's talking about, I wish my work day could speak to my personal life day so that I could have similar conversations. So there's another 10 minutes doing that one and saying the goodbyes. And in that course of that time, people are like, yeah, hey, Clef, have a good weekend. Yeah, have a good weekend. Oh, remember. So you have the little extra filler. So right now there's a half hour gone. So now I'm looking at the half hour. I'm like, okay, here's what I have to get done in this half hour, because I'm really trying to leverage getting the work done during the workday, weekend thinking. I was playing with that this week. By the way, totally forgot what my homework was supposed to be. Bring me back to that. I know there was an assignment that I didn't get to. So then I've got about a half an hour left. And it's funny, like there's a tipping point within time frames where I kind of go, why bother? There's not enough time. And I don't know what the starting point would be. Like if, you know, I start off thinking I have an hour and then it gets knocked down to 30 minutes. I will tell you, somewhere around the 15 minute mark, I hit the, I'm just not going to get this done. And all of a sudden my plan changes to comply with failure as opposed to knuckle down and push through. And when I give you the example, the example is completely lackluster, like what I ended up doing, let's say. But the thinking for me was kind of profound because it surprised me. So the things I had to get done, I got a few of them done, and then all of a sudden there's 15 minutes left. So with 15 minutes left in this amount of time that I thought I had to get stuff done, I'm looking at now, I've completely lost my energy to complete the task that's in front of me. And I'm starting to think about failing at making it to my appointment. So my mind shifts from what's in front of me, which it shouldn't, but it does, to do I need to make a phone call because I'm not going to make it to this appointment. And I had this sudden sense of, if I make that call, if I make that call to change the appointment, then I'm going to spend the next 33 minutes, technically 45, because I got 15 minutes left in my work time, and then another 30 minutes of travel time. I'm going to spend the next 45 minutes thinking to myself, great, there's another 45 minutes that I didn't use properly. So I started to think about how bad I was going to feel by not completing a task that I still had 15 minutes left to do. And it started to mess with my mind because I thought, why am I getting into this thinking? And I've done this thinking before, like the why bother? Why bother executing? I'll just take it home. I'll do it at home. What I ended up doing was I looked at the task and I thought to myself, well, if this other thing is available, then I'll follow it through. And in this case, it had to do with, I had to go to the photocopier to get something copied, and then I had to go get something signed off, and then I had to make it back to home base, this classroom. I had everything packed up, ready to leave. Going through the halls again, and I had to decide whether or not I was prepared to sort of run into other people, because there's a lot of action in the high school at the end of the day. So messing with my own kind of structure, instead of going through the hall, I went out the side door and went around, just took a quick 1 minute detour. It would have taken me 30 seconds to make it to the photocopier. Took me about 2 minutes to go around and outside through another door. Nice side is I got a little bit of refreshment, some fresh air. And when I came in the other side, it was funny because I actually saw a couple people hot footing it out the other side to where their cars were, but I got directly into the photocopy room, got the photocopying done, got my mailbox cleaned out for Monday, like my physical mailbox. And then I made it back to my office after doing that photocopying. And as I'm walking back, I checked my watch and I still had 7 minutes left. So that extra 7 minutes was spent setting up stuff for Monday, which wasn't even in the plan. And then I started to think about what a loss that would have been had I fallen into the trap of that thinking, like, why bother? Why bother using up that 15 minutes? All of this is sort of really challenging thinking for me, because I don't often, this is what's messed. I will dance with whatever throws at the day. I think that's whatever that comes at me during the day. I think that's kind of the normal for teaching. You have your plan, you have your lesson, you know the students are going to show up, but anything can kind of happen in between there. What I realized in that moment with that 15 minutes is how landlocked I am sometimes in trying to holding onto a failing plan, and then in some ways punishing myself, like, well, sucky, so what? So you're just going to have to do that 30 minutes at home on the weekend. And how willing I am to comply with that. How willing I am to just sort of accept the fact that I won't get it done, and that somehow it's a badge of honor to take it home and do it as, you know, in the bag of work. And I think that, I think I do that often. I think at the heart of it is me really not pushing hard enough when I've got that 15 minutes to not get part of the thing done, to get the thing done. Because I think it's probably, in some ways, some of the tasks that I do, I believe they take 30 minutes, but I've never been forced to try to get them done in 15 and still deliver quality. So.
You got me thinking about a couple of things there. The first one is, I don't remember what your homework was because of my issues with homework.
The second you assigned thing, it. Didn't you assign it?
I think so.
All right, fair enough.
The second thing is the four ghosts. So the four ghosts in the game Pac-Man had both Japanese and English names. So in Japan, they started as Fickle, Chaser, Ambusher, and Stupid. And their English names are Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde. So there you go. Now, moving on to what you were talking about, two things that I experienced this week. On Thursday, I was notified that I was getting a planning time that I had missed earlier in the year. So I had a double planning time, 80 minutes, and I was like, I'm working on my report cards. Come hell or high water, in those 80 minutes, I'm working on my report cards. So I grabbed a laptop and I went into the teacher workroom where there's already a computer, but I did not want to be using, I wanted that computer to be left for other teachers. There were two people from the board office talking spec ed in the corner. They were sitting in the chairs, so there were no chairs. So I came in, put my laptop down on the island, started working. And I was like hell-bent on getting a section of my report cards done in those 80 minutes. So whether, I would run out of time and I would have to do it at home, or I'd get it done within time, or if I had extra time, I was just getting to work. Well, I start working, and like the first 5 minutes, I can't focus. The people in the corner are talking, which is fine. They're supposed to talk in there. They're talking. There's a teacher behind me photocopying and getting on the computer. So I go back to my class, grab my headphones, come back, plug in the headphones, put on a podcast, and then get back to work. So I'm working my tail off, like just going at it. Apparently people are coming in to the room, acknowledging my existence, and I don't know because my back is to the door. I'm facing the window. These two people are on my right, and I should have taken a picture. I literally had this much space to work, just enough for my laptop, because we had new art supplies come in. So the custodian brought them up and just put them on the island. So there was like nowhere to work in the teacher workroom. But I find this corner and I'm standing and I'm going away. I look up to get some air, and the teacher working in the room, one of them says to me, "Are you listening to music?" And I'm like, "No, I'm listening to a podcast." So she gives me this look. Then she says, "What are you working on?" And I'm like, "My report cards." Then she gives me this other look, because they're due like at the end of the month. So why am I doing them now, right? But she doesn't know I have hockey every night, with hockey on the weekends. Like there's no time to come home, just lay around, do eat Twinkies and do report cards. I got things to do. So now she's really looking at me funny. And I look funny because I got these big headphones on and I'm just going to town. So that day, I was able to get done what I wanted to, but I had 80 minutes. Yesterday, I only had 40 minutes and I couldn't even come close. So what happened was, so on Fridays, I have two prep times, but they're not back to back. My first prep time, I get there, I get to the computer, fire it up. I'm totally ready. All my paperwork's in front of me. My EA comes to the door and says, "We had an accident with one of the students. You have to call mom now." Okay. Get up. Gotta go get the phone number. Gotta find a phone. This is crazy. I gotta find a phone. I can't just make a call because it was kind of personal. I didn't want to be telling the mom what was happening to the child in front of a bunch of people. So takes me, a minute to get the number, then like 5 to 6 minutes to find a phone in the building that's relatively private, make the call, leave a message, which means that mom could call back and I might get called away from the computer to get to a phone to talk to mom again. So I get back up, I sit down, I look at the clock, I only have like 22 minutes left. And like you, I start doing the calculations and I'm like, no, I'm not even going to scratch the surface. I'm going to invest my 22 minutes in something else. I have to abandon this now. Get off the computer, close all the paperwork, grab my day book, start doing day book stuff. Planning time's over. Get back to class. Lunch recess comes. I have to change a bulletin board because my kids are so pumped about the writing that they did that I told them I would put it up for everybody to see. So that's got to happen. And two of my kids that are doing a Minecraft project with me are like, hey, can we stay in and work on Minecraft today? Yeah, sure, why not? So now here's my, and I had duty. So I do my lunch duty. Then those kids go outside. Now I have 40 minutes. I need to try to eat. I need to use the bathroom. I have to change a bulletin board and I have to supervise two kids. That's one of those challenge things, right? Like, it's like, okay, can I make this happen without like wrecking anybody's lives? Let's do it. We do it. Then the day starts up again and then I have planning time again. But this time I'm fully aware that the 40 minutes I have is not enough time to do the report card stuff I want. So I completely abandon it. And at that moment, I have a feeling of calm, but I also have a feeling of rage. And I don't mean like rage. I'm not defining rage the way that it's normally defined. It's a, oh man, the workday has beat me again. I thought I was going to sneak in these reports because normally they happen at home. I thought I was going to sneak these reports in. I was going to win the day. The day got me again and I shelved them. Because that's what happens. Normally they get shelved because there's a priority. If I work on my reports all day, I won't be planned for the day. I won't be able to react to what my students need me to do the next period because my whole focus is on the reports. Lunch, recess, planning time. I mean, if that would be a cool challenge, but it would probably, I'd probably pay for it at the end of that day because nothing during the day will have happened the way it's supposed to. So that's the rage. But then the calm comes from, okay, it's been shelved, so I don't need to think about it anymore. My focus can shift to the here and now and what needs to happen here and now. So that's what you got me thinking about with your little talk.
Calming rage. Calming rage. I like that combo of words. I would have never put the two together. I've had a sense of that though. It's the calming. It's less about the calming because it tends to be short lived for me, but it is the release. I'm aware of that. It's like that progressive muscle relaxation, you know, tightening something up. Except I didn't realize I was intentionally winding myself up, but I definitely feel the sort of release on the other end of just kind of saying, "This is not going to work." But it's funny. In that moment, I think it's in that moment of, okay, that sort of exhale. See, that's where I'm catching myself too. Because I'll say, because that's what I was kind of doing when I said, why bother? Like, I'm trying to see the shades of difference between the why bother and using that last 15 minutes after I've just blown through over an hour. Like, I didn't get to use all the time that I thought I would to get a job done. Is there something about that? There's something in that moment where I noticed the only thing that I needed to get done in that whole plan. Like, does that moment of, you know, calming rage crystallize that one task that you really do need to get done? And the other stuff that you had on there was a bit of distraction. Like, it, that the extra gets stripped away. I don't know. What I do know is that I do have. So what the general convo here, what I'm talking about is actually closing out IEP stuff. So it's always a bit of, people listening, IEP season at the high school level, you get a whole lot of front end work done. And then you get these documents printed out so that the administrator can go over and give you some feedback and ask you some questions. And then you go back into edits and then administrator signs off on it. So I was in that last stage of the final drafts and I hadn't got them back yet. So I got them back in the last third of the day yesterday. Now we're handing them out next week. So the process then, once you have all your paper copies, is to put them into envelopes, to sort of stamp them with these, you know, parent copy, school copy, and then you get them ready to be given out to the students. A little bit of the backstory here is the day that they're supposed to be given out, I'm out on training 2 days next week. One of the days happens to be the day that the IEPs are being handed out. So that's the kind of undercurrent for me to try and get this all set, because had I not got them back from the principal yesterday, then there was a chance that one of my colleagues was going to have to hand out my IPs for me. Because I can't, where I'm going for training, like there's no opportunity for me to go back and forth to hand them out. Like it just wouldn't happen. So that was feeding into this. That was the sort of like, that was the vehicle I was traveling on, is and I had to get that thing done. Now, what was in my control versus what was out of my control? What was out of my control was the principal signing off. Administrators are incredibly busy. I'm only one of many spec ed teachers that are trying to get this done at this time. So my needs flow into the reality of somebody else's day. I want to, there's something in me that wants to get kind of down to the nuts and bolts of this exact kind of moment, but with an administrator. Like I want it, because I can only imagine that these little bits of, I got 15 minutes, not what, how am I going to stay motivated to use every 15 minute chunk that I have? And I've observed a few administrators, but never had that direct kind of like mentorship conversation, is how do you keep pushing through these things? Because for me, like I said, I feel like I have the luxury of having a fairly organized day. I move with the bells. I move with the students. I know when certain things, I might not know what's going to pop up, but I kind of know the when that it could pop up, which is, I know I'm splitting a hair, but I think that makes a difference. From an administrator point of view, where you have a professionally managed day, unless you're blocked off with a closed door meeting, anything could walk in the door. And it makes me wonder about how they stay motivated to keep executing. How do they keep executing to sort of stay on top of stuff like that? I feel like there's someone that could sort of tutor me in this a little bit. You know, you and I have bounced back and forth, some of the people that we feel connected to, you know, the whole Gary Vee and sometimes Joe Rogan and Goggins. And I like it because they speak from outside of teaching. It's not about teaching. It's about living effectively. It's about living intentionally. I'm wondering about those, that type of mindset, but from inside our trade, those kind of people that really can sort of, they know how to activate those exact same thoughts in me, but from inside education.
I'm willing to venture that those administrators that you're referring to that appear to be flying and keeping things moving during the day, I'm willing to say that I'm sure that they have their lost time just like we do, and it probably just looks different. And so to you and I, them pumping out those IEPs and making sure everything's good, I think at that time, in that context, they look like they're nonstop superhero types. But then, you know, when you're in your room doing whatever, I could see that they'd be in their office spinning their wheels a little bit here and there. Mind you, there are all-star types in every profession. There are teachers who can do this, administrators who can do this, who can really nail down their time and make it work. But I'm willing to bet that they also could relate to what we're talking about, and that loss of time within a particular window, or realizing that, this is happening next and I just don't have the time or the energy to make this happen, so I'm going to shift my focus. That's just my perspective. You said a few things that got me thinking, and now my thoughts are gone, even though I wrote some things down. But the look outside of education to the people like Vaynerchuk and Goggins and Ferris and Rogan, I agree with you, is not about, it's the bigger picture. They're talking about the bigger picture, right? So, and I appreciate that, because for me, I know that as my day progresses, I have filters, right? So I wake up and I start my day with the umbrella of, well, what is life? What's happening with life? How am I fitting into this thing called life? As a dad, as a husband, as a teacher, as a human. But then, you know, you shower and you eat breakfast, and then the filter, it tightens up. Okay, I got to deal with this now. My world is this right now. And then you get to work, and that filter just keeps becoming more focused, if you will, until you get to that fine grit sandpaper where this is your world, right? The kids in front of you and sitting in that particular chair and using the computer in your room, like, that's your world. And I guess now that I think about it and I talk about it, what's so refreshing is that when I leave the room, when I leave the school, the filter starts to work backwards for me. I start with this really narrow view that then starts to expand again. And as I'm in my car driving away, it's not about school anymore. It's about the umbrella, the stuff that Rogan and his people talk about and everything Goggins says, I'm back out again. So I think maybe that's why, like, I enjoy the ultra focus of my work, but then when I leave, I enjoy coming back out again and focusing on that life umbrella. And what am I doing to make me better at life? And I tell you, these days, better at life is like hard work, because there's things in my life that I've been working on for a long time and they just don't seem to be getting better. Or I'll take 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. And that's constant, right? Like, that's always on. It doesn't stop, even though you want it to sometimes. But I think these conversations are important, especially like for me. I think it's important that I have those big umbrella moments and then those really ultra focused moments at school. And then the fun part for me is, how can I connect the two? How can I connect the umbrella of life with the ultra focus of school? Because I think in between those two things is me being a human. How does life play out? More so than ever in my work this year, I see my students as humans first. And I know that's got to sound weird to people who know me or who don't know me. There's something about my clientele this year that's just different than what I've had before. And their personal lives, their home lives, I seem to be giving that more credit this year, sneaking into the classroom, than I ever have before. And I don't know if it's because before I was able to separate the two really nicely, whereas this year with my students and their needs and the needs of my school community, there is no way to separate that nicely, because if you do, it means you're doing something wrong in one area or the other, because I'm looking for that divide and I can't find it. And I'm talking to my colleagues about how do you make this work and how do you make that work? And nobody has a straight answer. All their answers are, well, consider this and consider that, and weigh this option, weigh that option, and then at the end of all that, look at your calculation. What do you have in the end? And that will tell you where to find that line. It's not even a straight line. It's like one of those bendy, twisty type things that are hard to cut, that are hard to separate. And when you try to separate something like that, you run the risk of ruining one side or the other because of the way that the cut has to go. And so, going back to what you were saying, I really, as you know, because I hit you up with links all week on outside stuff, umbrella stuff, that fuels me, I guess, so that I can go into work and be ultra focused and filtered. But then when I come out, I need that re-energization. That focus for me is like taking a cell phone battery and putting all of that energy onto one or two things. But you can only do that for so long, because then your battery starts to die fast and you need to recharge. And so for me, the recharge is to get rid of that focus and go back to the umbrella. I want to stop there, and I just want to throw something in, a jab from last week or the week before, when we talked about it's right up here on my list. When we talked about theory into practice, and I kind of put my thumb down on the theory and explained my perspective on theories that come from people that don't know the work that we do in a classroom. I sent you a link this week. I don't know if you got to see it, where Goggins was talking about the same thing we were talking about, theory into practice, where the reason why I sent it to you is I'm biased because he seemed to be on my side of things with respect to theory and practice. But I thought it was interesting that our little talk doesn't just exist in our little talk, right? It exists outside of us as well. And we just don't run into it or don't see it, but it's there. And there's lots of people who have lots of opinions, and it's, how do you get to those people? You don't, right? Because your life is so busy. Your time is taken up by all kinds of things. So when I run into those little nuggets, I'll share them or I'll talk about them because they resonate with me.
I saw it. What the Goggins clip was, what I took from that is that, I don't remember what sides you and I fell on that. I think Goggins was agreeing with me on that one. I don't know. But I think you and I got into, I think where we were talking, what happened there was something about that difference between, I think, theory into practice. And then we talked about practice into theory and then just practice into practice. Like just sort of, you know, if I were to take anything from any of the shares that you and I have done, the biggest part of it is practice into more practice. Dispense with theory. Execute. Use that as your sort of learning for the next. And that's where I was taken from his POV. But I think both kind of work. You and I, in as much as, you know, when we do these meetups on the weekend, there's a strong dual element of what we've lived that week. And then we also inject what could be, what could have been, what others are doing. We sort of play in that zone. But just like that elemental object that you were talking about previously, about having to cut it in order to define the edges of it, if you're to separate it, it falls apart. Despite the fact that you see the borders, the infrastructure is really kind of like wiggly, but it holds it together. I think that's the whole thing with theory into practice, practice into the theory, practice, whatever you want. I would say the only danger, and I think this is what Goggins was pointing out, is don't get trapped in the loop of theory into theory. Don't get caught in that loop of only ever thinking about doing something and then getting this kind of kaleidoscopic sense of achievement where you might not necessarily have had any firsthand or any primary activity in it. That was my takeaway there. And then I want to shift, if not back, but shift slightly to, you were talking about that idea of refreshment and, let's say, cross-pollination between personal life and work life. And you got me thinking about the necessity of a third space, as in, what are the transitional places in between that could refresh either way? And sorry to get philosophical suddenly, but it makes me think about what happens where there isn't necessarily, you know, your personal life is, what happens when personal life is all good, but work life isn't? Or what happens where work life is really great, but personal life isn't? And I'm kind of coming out of the conversation that I had with my colleague where we're both saying, geez, I wish I could port over some of the organization of my day from work life into my personal life. Because I kind of am cracking off at 75%, 80% accuracy or efficiency all day long. I'm okay with that falling off, the 15% falling off, because that's the X factor of what is thrown at me, and I'm just going to deal. But I don't think I'm cracking off at 85% of my personal life. I don't know if I am. You know, we have this language, all these sort of formal bits of language that organize social relationships at work. and organize social learning and organize deliverables. The deadlines seem so natural. The movement from place to place, the examining efficiencies and redundancies, aka 3D printer in your room, we can be so clear and know how we're going to action it next. I think about the third space that allows you to see both parts of your life. And it's got me thinking, I don't know if I have a third space. I would say the closest thing to a third space is this conversation right now with you. I would also argue, though it may be profound or powerful for other people as well, I don't know if it's enough. I don't know if it's enough to propel me. Like it's not to say that there isn't deep value to having this conversation with you every week or as often as we do. But I'm starting to realize you ever heard that I'm going to go sort of shift aside, and I swear I'm going to come back. Talk about individuals that have, let's say, how do I want to say this one? I've been in conversations with families where they're talking about their son or daughter, their child, and they've come to a point where they say something like, I just don't know how else to help them. And I can kind of, for better or for worse, I mean, I don't know how to get them to a higher level. I don't know how to bring them up from a lower level. I don't know how to keep them where they are. And sometimes I found myself saying, well, maybe somebody from outside the loop needs to sort of get in on this. Maybe you have used up all your resources. Bring it back to what I was talking about this podcast and me thinking about that third space. I need to start putting things in the third space that are in addition to yours and my conversations, because yours and my conversations really do seed the cloud and get me thinking about the changes I want to make, positive, you know, sort of moving, putting new things on the table, taking things off the table. But in that third space, I need to start putting other set pieces that I'm not looking to create in this particular, my layout, my rollout for this is just the things that are going to naturally be obstacles for me so that I have to shift and move. Could be scheduling appointments in, it could be making intentional health changes, like all these sort of things, but kind of anchoring those in addition to this conversation so that my third space is starting to push roots back into my personal life and my work life. Because I feel in a lot of ways, I have very distinct successes without kind of communication in my work life and my personal life. And I think it's because I don't have a transition space, and my commute's not enough. I've spoken about that before. Commute is nice, but that's kind of buffer zone. It's a non-productive time per se, as in it's just kind of like it's the gray zone between. That's what you got me thinking about.
The third space reminds me of the 25th hour. You're just cracking off these ideas that don't exist but will exist. Once I think the beautiful thing about this is that awareness leads to the 25th hour and the third space, right? So I think it's almost like for me this is good stuff, because we're talking about, in my little brain, the 25th hour and the third space, they don't exist. There's nothing tangible for me to grab onto and say, look, here's my 25th hour. But it's that awareness. Now, I've been thinking about the 25th hour all week. Last night at the rink, when I made that quick reflection, that was my 25th hour. But I would have never thought of it that way or considered it that way if I hadn't talked to you about it and had you not mentioned you needing a 25th hour. Once you're aware, you can start to conceptualize things in ways that work for you. I'm sure there's a ton of people that disagree that that wasn't my 25th hour, and they wouldn't agree with my definition of the term and how I conceptualize it. I get that. And they can have that. If that's what they want to do during their 25th hour, then that's great, because it's theirs. But for me, I think that may have also been my third space, because it was more than a buffer zone. It was, man, you've got me really thinking about that time yesterday. So let me just bust it down, break it down for the two listeners that we have. I finished work, got home. I know, I love it when you're laughing, nobody can hear you. But for the two listeners, Sarah and maybe Paul, hey, thanks for coming. Finish work, get home, grab the kid, take him to the rink, you know, tie 5 or 6 pairs of skates in the dress room before escaping. And then there's a time. It wasn't even a lot of time. It was like 15 minutes, but there were 15 minutes that I was just not with my son. And I was by myself. I wasn't chatting with any of the other parents. They were in another section. I was in one section. And I thought, this is my time. This is my time. I want to bump things up right now. I want to do some reflection on something that happened during my day, and I want to capture it. And so I went and I sat down, and I found my third space. It was not work and it was not home. It was my space, and that's what I wanted to do with it. And even though it wasn't an hour, it was like 15 minutes of thinking and creating. It was my 25th hour, because truly I felt like that time that I had to do what I did, it felt just liberating. It felt free. It felt like I had nothing else to do. I didn't want to do anything else. And that doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen often. But I'm looking for those moments now. What would I have done if I didn't want to do that reflection? I don't know what I would have done. I think I may have wasted that time. That time would not have been turned into a third space or a 25th hour. It would have been me on social media, just killing time, surfing the net, maybe throw out a text message to a buddy here or there to see how they're doing, because I had time to think. But I like it. The third space, the 25th hour. You know, the talk that we do here, Chris, you could really turn that into a book. Have you ever thought about that? Using this podcast to write your book while you podcast? Have you ever considered that?
I'll start by saying our book, there's no solo mission here. There's the being a catalyst for each other, whether in intentional or just solely provocative. The content of this cast is it's both of ours. So the book would be both of ours. I haven't to that end, but it is interesting, you know, as I'm mentally checking for whether or not you have my brain bugged, because this morning I've mentioned before about transitioning out of education and just what that would look like. And I've started to, I don't know if it's formally, but I've started to put together the mental list of, it's one thing to say, okay, so I'm going to preface this. Maybe I should just go right into it. But there are the way my life is organized, there's no me jumping. I don't have a passion springboard here where all of a sudden I'm going to go upstairs and say to my family, okay, I'm done with teaching. I don't have that. There's too many. My adult accountability meter just tells me flat out, like, that's not a, do not do that. Don't do that, Clef. But I was giving thought this morning to what would I leave teaching for? Like what would be my take? What would be the thing that I could start to put into motion? And one of the things that I did think about, and would be leaving to do writing, to sort of do more writing, and whether or not I sort of would be writing about education. I think the space is filled just fine with educators that are already putting out content. I think part of the writing would be for a different audience altogether. I think that there's, I know that there's pieces and styles of writing that I would like to explore that could be a part of my exit plan from education. I also think that doing, okay, so flat out, we now have just under 60 episodes. So just, and it's actually more than 60 hours, because I think at least a handful of episodes were like an hour 20, hour and a half. So we have a lot of combos clocked. There's more than one book in there if either one of us ever decided to, but I kind of look at it from the point of view of the power and the, I think the hooks of what we talked about exists in those posts. There is no taking our podcast and flipping that into a more interesting book. I think it'd be entirely betraying how interesting the conversations we've had. So would I be interested in sort of doing the book? No. Would I be interested in doing a live, like a live event where we were sort of doing like a conversation with more people? That'd be cool. But I always wonder about that when educators flip all of their free content into a paid version of a book. I know people, they buy these things because they like to buy, they like to buy books for a lot of different reasons. But I always wonder about that because I've actually done that when someone has released material and I'll go back through their feeds and I'll say, it's all here. Or like the chunks, it's not as crystallized, but all the inspirations there, just go back into the previous posts.
Interesting. I don't have much more to say than that. I think the whole thing is interesting. This experiment that we started wanting to see if we could track our year and the work that we're doing has led to so much more, right? And I think I remember telling you in the first season that I was feeling uncomfortable that we weren't rubbing up against education the way that I thought we would in this podcast. But I'm at peace with it now, and I'm a little bit different than my thinking is different. Whatever comes, and it's just cool to have the time. This, I think you mentioned it, this podcast is kind of like the 25th hour, because we're taking the time out of our lives to make this happen. Like this morning when I rolled out of bed, looked out the window and just saw darkness, I was like, darn, I feel like I'm getting up to go to work. But then, you know, after I showered and kind of freshened up, I was like, okay, I'm not going to work. This is my time. And I'm going to bust out an episode with you. And it's going to be a good chat. And it's going to start my day off right. So, you know, when it's viewed that way, it makes you feel different. It adds a whole other layer to your day, to your life. And I think that that's one of the benefits of having done this for so long. And I'm glad that it continues and that we can keep it going, even though both of our schedules they're pretty whack. Like when you think about it, we wake up pretty early to do this. And then, you know, yesterday you texted me and said, hey, can we do it a little bit earlier tomorrow? Because life is going to hit me sooner rather than later. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, let's make it happen. So it's just cool, the things that are coming from this. And I appreciate you you saying the thing about the book like being ours. I have no interest. Like, if somebody wants to write the book for us, like we could have like a, what are they called, ghostwriters, bring them on. I don't know where these people are at, but I don't want to write anything. I'd rather talk.
That's funny. Would the ghostwriter be Fickle, Chaser, Ambusher, Stupid, Inky, Binky, Pinky, or Clyde?
I want to say Clyde, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm like a little kid. The last option you give them is the one that they pick.
Or Chaser. Chaser's not bad either.
Chaser's a cool one.
Chaser's not bad.
So are we shutting down? Are we done for today?
I think we can flow out of this. I think we can flow out of this for sure. I was just, as you were chatting, I was just pointing I think we started talking we started talking, and it was dark outside. It'd be interesting to sort of reverse back through the video, and there's the window above my shoulder there, right? Because I know when we did on the on ramp, we were, you know, mentioning the whole starting in the dark, ending in the dark, being dark, and now that we've got, well, a little bit of sunlight out there, so maybe that's the inspiration to get into the day, the reminder, time to get on with the day. Sun's right up. On. What is it? Boots. What is it? Sun's up, boots down. You got me sort of flowing through some sort of military jargon. Not wheels up. It's in that sort of, you know, it's in that kind of like jargon of time to go, get ready to go. Can I drop something interesting that you still, was it last week I mentioned the podcast Serial?
I don't recall.
If you got the time, check it. Serial, I think you'll dig season 2.
So, podcast Serial.
Yeah, so it's in season 3 right now. And it's the focus, it comes from the people, NPR, the people that put together this American Life. Actually, I don't know if that's NPR. Is that NPR? Might be. But their sister podcast, brother podcast, is called Serial. And they kind of focus in on long-form storytelling. So season 2 is about a soldier that decides to walk off base in order to be a catalyst for something to happen. So it's not abandonment of duty. It's something bigger than that. I don't want to reveal because there's so many layers to it, but it's fascinating to listen to all the different pieces, and it doesn't make it nice and tidy for you at the end. You have to sort of like just see the messiness of the story. So that's been my my commuting music. It's what I have playing in the morning and after school, listening to some of these podcasts. And yeah, Serial's really cool. Season 1's good too, for different reasons, totally different storyline. And season 3 that I'm starting to listen to now, again, is a different animal altogether, but I really dig the way they tell stories. So
I will look into that.
All right, man.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
Salutations.
Exit salutations. Be well. I hope your week is fantastic. And yeah, bring it back for next week. I'm looking forward for the next convo.
Right on. Okay, we'll catch you later.